everybody, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Books Closed. I am Andrew Storz, and on this week's episode, I had the great chance to speak to tattoo artist Nico Hurtado. Now, Nico, to me, is at the top of his game in his style, and color realism, color portraits, all that type of work. He's the guy. He's almost transcended tattooing itself in the sense that I feel like a lot of people who may not even be necessarily super keyed in or interested on tattooing or could be familiar with his name, his face, his tattoos. So I don't know a lot of people like that. So I was curious to get to talk to him and ask him about what that's like. Are there additional pressures? Are you constantly aware that you're just like the guy? I don't know. So if you're here after seeing the preview that I posted on my Instagram at Andrew Storz, you saw a little clip of part of this interview that didn't go very well. And I can explain, and I would like to explain before we start this. But before that, I also must explain that this episode is sponsored by DOS M. And this is a message to tattooers, tattoo shop owners, and the like. As we know, right now, more than ever, it's very important for tattoo artists and for shop owners to fine-tune their internet presence. A lot of us still can't do walk-ins, so our websites and our social media pages are basically our storefronts right now. Taking the time to really learn about all the ins and outs of marketing yourself and your shop would feel like a full-time job if you haven't put a lot of thought into that sort of thing yet. And even if you have, it can feel like a full-time job. And I definitely know that many tattooers would rather be spending their time tattooing, not doing all this internet shit. It's for the birds, but it's not. But this is where DOS M can be a massive help to you. I worked with DOS M to see what they got, what are their goods, and I wanted to know how I could improve my own social media and my own internet presence. And I like to think I'm pretty savvy with internet stuff, but one of my biggest takeaways, one of the best suggestions that I got from DOS M, was about my Google listing page for my shop. And this, to me, when I'm really looking at it, this is maybe one of the most important places online as far as being a beacon for new clients and finding new customers. Your Google page, that's how people are finding shops. So I got some great suggestions on how I could improve my page. The way that DOS M works is you get a comprehensive audit of your entire web presence, and it's free. So that was pretty cool. So the free service I got is the same free service that you can get. And from there, based on your needs, you can work with them further and more in depth to chip away at some of the issues that they identify. I do want to mention that this isn't some self-help, motivational, you can do it, believe in yourself and your business will thrive kind of thing. This is actually just real digital marketing knowledge and problem solving that can help anyone. If you want to get your first free strategy session, that's digitaltattooers.com. Check out DOS M and see what they can do for you. And thank you very much to them for sponsoring this episode. Now, back to the real business. Me and Nico, it seemed a little awkward on that Instagram video, but I got to come clean. And many of you know that I got jokes sometimes that wasn't exactly how the interview went, okay? All the pieces of that clip were part of the interview, but they just didn't necessarily happen in that order. I thought it would be funny because Nico and I talked about using TikTok and Instagram Reels and how impactful those can be right now through the algorithms and such to get attention online, to get a little more heat on your page. So I thought I would see if I could capture some of that lightning in a bottle for this interview. And I think it might've worked, but it might've worked a little too well because I got some angry DMs about why are you being mean to this guy? Why do you bring Nico on your show and you're just a dick to him? Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't a dick to him because Nico was super candid and just great to talk to, very open about a lot of his ideas and experiences, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. So instead of me telling you any more about this interview, I'll just play it for you now. So here is my conversation with Nico Hurtado. Is there anyone whose work you follow that is very different than the styles that you're typically focused on? Anyone that would surprise people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love large black work. Like, I don't really know some of the dude's names, but I mean, obviously, like, you know, was it Thomas Hooper, people like that, you know, that do like dot work, John Dix, you know what I mean? People like that. I like that Loose Lips, you know. There's a lot of people that I look at. I follow a ton of tattooers, and I find myself liking a lot of the traditional stuff. I think traditional is like timeless, you know, and black and gray as well. But yeah, I mean, I like all kinds of tattooers, man. I've been tattooing nearly 20 years, and I've seen so many amazing tattoos. You know, I went to Japan and tattooed, and I seen a bunch of bodysuits, and that inspired a lot of like, whenever I do large pieces, I kind of like to do black and gray backgrounds with like colored foreground. And that kind of, you know, sculpted me a little bit. So yeah, I find inspiration in everything.
Do you think in terms of tattooing, like traditional tattooing being timeless, do you think that the longer that other styles kind of persist, that we'll stop thinking that traditional tattooing is like the one timeless approach?
No, because I think black and gray is the same way. I think there's a lot of timeless style tattoos, you know. I think that's what you're asking, right?
Well, I guess I'm asking, like, do you think that the newer styles will start being looked at as a timeless thing after a certain point?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, all this stuff was done. I remember Philip Blue, I had seen tattoos that he had did on the dude's thigh when I first started tattooing. And they were like color realistic portraits. He did like a Jimi Hendrix, and there's like,
yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, and they were fucking badass, dude. It's just, I think, and I've seen amazing tattoos that were like, I think this guy, Obi Hughes, he's from California here. He has a real beautiful color piece that's like a realistic painting, and it's by Tim Hendricks, and it's done differently than I would do it. Like, it's whipped out to skin, but dude, even after fucking years and years, that thing looks beautiful, you know? And I've seen some real beautiful tattoos done like all different ways, so... I mean, I guess it's just the way the person carries it too. Cause I even like shin tattoos, dude. Like even like I've met people with just covered in shit, and like, they're just so like rock and roll, or like their style is a certain way that they just carry it. And without those shitty tattoos, they just wouldn't have that same persona, you know? So I just think it's really the person that carries it. Cause I have a client, man, he's a friend of mine. He's like 6'6". And he has a bunch of nerd tattoos. You know, he has like Baby Yoda, and he has like fucking, you know, Nemo. And this dude's like nearly 40. But those tattoos just fit that dude. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, he's a coach, and he's like a stay-at-home dad, and he's like super about his kids, and his kids are like autistic, so his kids love his tattoos. And it's just all these things that make him, you know? So I think per person, it is what it is. But like, yeah, I think that eventually every style you see in art, and I mean, it's already happening, right? Like every style you see in art is going to be in tattooing. Like you have people making marks, and you have people like pretty much no rhyme or reason. And yeah, I just think we're going to see all facets of people's brains is really what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting to see how stuff develops, and the things that stick around and the things that don't. And just the way we look back on what is like time tested, is changing like every year or every month or every day, you know, do you remember, was there any time that you can think back to that was like, I guess a time where you first got kind of pointed in the direction that you ended up going with your own style? Cause I could imagine that when you started, it was probably not exactly what you're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, I started tattooing about 2001, 2002. And, you know, it was like at the end of 2001. And then my actual career where I started charging people was about 2002. But I worked on people walking, like I was at a walk-in shop in the middle of the desert. And so I fucking would get to work at 11. We would work all day till, you know, the last person came through the door. And I would do everything, man. I did lettering, I did traditional, I did... But really, man, like the truth is that I excelled at the realistic stuff and I didn't excel at the other stuff. So I almost feel like it kind of chose me to do that rather than me being like, I want to do that. Like, it was just like, I did a cool portrait on somebody. And then the next person came and was like, I seen the portrait you did on that dude. And it was like black and gray. And then it was like, cool, I get to do another portrait. And then it was like a week full of portraits. And then it was like nothing else. You know what I mean? So it's like, it kind of chooses you, like what you excel at. And so I just honed in on that. I mean, obviously I always love that, but I didn't really know what I was going to do in tattooing. I just liked tattoos, and the first tattoos I ever experienced were my uncle's, man, and my grandfather. They had homemade tattoos and prison tattoos. And, you know, they used to tell me never to get tattooed, you know, because they just, they had to live with stigmas and they had to live with different things that, like, my uncle had flaco on his throat and, you know, he was from San Fernando in LA, you know? And so he had a lot of trouble. He was in and out of prison, and my grandfather had like a Lucy written on his knuckles, which I have too. And he had like a M on his hand and the Pachuco cross on his finger. And he just told us never to get tattooed, that you were going to be judged. And so my family really looked at it negatively, especially when I started. And so, yeah, man, it was just an interesting, it's been an interesting ride. And I never knew tattooing was going to be, or even is what it is, man. It's kind of mind blowing to me, like, to see tattooing before TV shows and get that little glimpse for a few years and work at a walk-in shop, and then TV shows come involved, and then the whole fucking world explodes, and like, it just completely changes to what it is today.
Yeah. So if you had, if you were to have chosen the path that you would have taken style-wise at that time, what would it have been? If doing portraits kind of chose you, what were you more wanting to do?
I mean, I used to like to do like, I used to do a lot of illustrative stuff, which is going to sound crazy, but like, I used to do a lot of like, kind of like a lot of line weight stuff. Like, I wouldn't have chose that, but that's what I used to do. Like, but it was more like graffiti-esque, but not graffiti. I don't know. It was kind of like, I started when that whole like cartoony, like, you know, like the Gunner and Jimmy Litwalk and Joe Cap time. And so like, I used to do a lot of things like that. So there's people out there with like, you know, outlined monsters and like with weird little characters I used to draw. And actually lately I've been thinking about it, but I emulated everybody's style, dude. I mean, that's what you do when you start, right?
Yeah.
I emulated, the people I really looked up to, honestly, man, were like Paul Booth, you know, Guy Atchison. I bought his book, Reinventing the Tattoo. And then I took, like, early on, dude, I went to Mario Barth's convention in New Jersey, and I was probably tattooing 6 months, and I took seminars. I took a seminar from Guy. I took a seminar from, who else did I take it? Or I met Bob Tyrell there. I tried to get tattooed by Robert and Bob, and it just kind of changed my whole life on what tattooing was and what you were able to do. And then I met this dude, St. Mark, and he kind of ripped me apart, man. He seen a drawing I did. He was like looking at my portfolio and he was like, damn, dude, your fucking tattoos suck. He's fucking horrible. And I was like, oh fuck. He's all, why is it that your drawings are so good, but your fucking tattoos suck? And he kind of changed and gave me information that kind of changed my mind. And that kind of led me in the direction of realism too, because he was like, don't outline anything, just fucking go in with a mag. And so that's what I did, you know? And then, you know, implemented other stuff, but I don't really know what I would have chosen. I was kind of just in love with tattooing and the idea of it. And the guy that taught me how to tattoo, this guy, Mike DeMasi, we were high school friends and he had been tattooing about 2 years. He really like loved tattooing. And so it was just kids teaching kids, you know, in like a little shop in the middle of the desert. And we really didn't have any background in tattooing. Like I didn't know anybody that was like a tattooer. You know what I mean? Like what I think is a tattooer now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting that it can take a little bit of time to figure out what you really like. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily continue on the path that they think they're going to when they start, as far as like the first stuff that draws us into tattooing, like the kind of stuff that interests us. I know that I had like a folder of images on an old computer that I found a couple of years ago that was all these tattoo pictures that I had saved. And it was like, so not what I got into. It was like a lot of special effects tats and stuff that's like, it interests people that don't know anything about tattooing. And that's exactly what I was at that time.
That's cool though, man. I mean, you have great work and it's cool, man. I can tell you really love it. And what turned me on to you was you made some funny video, and I was actually thinking about it because, you know, like I don't know you at all. So it's like going into a blind interview, you know, which is also great. I think it's great. Yeah. You know, because it's a vulnerable situation. And I was really excited when you asked me, because, you know, I think you have good content and you have cool things you're doing. But it was just funny, you know, like you seem to really love what you're doing and love tattooing. And, you know, I just found you funny. So
thanks.
Like, you know, yeah.
I'm a goofball. I use it to hide my insecurities.
We all are, dude. I'm insecure as fuck, man. You know, so it's the same.
I'm starting to see that everyone kind of is insecure, and it's empowering in a sense. And to talk to someone like you and to hear you say that, because to me, you're someone who's like top tier as far as like visibility and like a huge name in tattooing for a long time. And I think it's valuable for people to realize that we're all kind of in the same boat as far as how we're hard on ourselves and how not every day is the greatest day. And you don't leave the shop every night thinking like you turn the key and you're like fucking crushed it today.
Yeah, dude, I don't ever think that. I mean, I kind of run at 100% constantly. Like I have a ton of shit going on. And so it's hard, you know, it's hard to, for anyone that thinks like that, I mean, it's just hard to maintain anything, you know? And so I've had to change a lot of ways in my life. You know, tattooing is a real special thing where it gives you a lot. And so you get lost in it, and it's easy to get lost. And, you know, you have to have a lot of discipline to really continue a long career, a respectful career, and to really try to do your best. And that's the hardest thing, man, because we all struggle with discipline, you know, and that's the hardest thing.
Yeah. Do you get burned out with all the stuff that you take on?
Of course, man. I get, you know what I get burned out on, man, more than anything is like, I'm kind of like always running, which I don't really even know why. I think it's just the way I'm built. I feel like I'm running all the time. Like it's like, I always set up too many projects. Like today, for instance, like this is in the middle, like it's my day off, but it's in the middle of like three meetings I had this morning. And then after this, I have to do some like photo stuff. It's just, dude, all day is busy. And my buddy Robert Flo just hit me up and was like, hey, you in town? It'd be cool to meet up. So it's always compounded with all these things that I feel like I kind of put too much pressure on myself. So I do get burned out, but I also don't really drink. Like I used to party and be like way, you know, into it and be with my friends and living this lifestyle. But, you know, I don't really drink. I'd say I'm 99% sober, dude. You know, I really keep a clear head, and I really am trying to like stay a real smooth course. And that gives me a lot of like good mental health. And it also lets me achieve the goals I set for myself daily, you know, and because that stuff always derails me and keeps me, that'll burn me out faster, you know, because if you drink or you go and do things that are just kind of a waste of your time, then I'm not getting, you know, sketches done or drawings done or like, you know, designs, or I'm not focusing on the management of shops or my shops or my guys, and I'm not really my best self for everybody. So I really try to maintain a healthy mind.
Yeah. As far as your day-to-day schedule, is tattooing still the biggest, your biggest time focus, or have you had to split it up with between the other things you do?
No, it'll always be the biggest focus because, you know, I had a meeting because I'm releasing a new product and it's taking a lot of my time, and it's going to take a lot of my time, and I'll be putting this out there soon. And it's probably going to be one of the bigger things I've done as far as product wise and career. And this is taking years to build and get, and, you know, ready for, and it should be launching somewhere around May. But, you know, so this is kind of like the first anyone will hear of it, but my buddies, that's my partners, were like, hey, this is going to take a lot of your time. Like you're going to know that this is going to be your focus. And I had to sit with them and be like, look, I know that's what you're saying, but that's why I have partners. Like I'm going to deal with it, but my tattooing is always the mechanism, in my opinion, that drives everything. And so tattooing is the most important thing to me. And it's the one thing I really love, and I don't want to lose focus on that. And even if I, right now I do about 4 days a week, but even if I went down to just say two or three, it's always going to be there and be a major focus. You know, I mean, that's a lot, dude, in my opinion, if you have a lot going on to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah. So for all these projects that you're doing as well, are these all ideas that you have and then you build the team to make it, or do people come to you and say, hey, let's put out a custom mustard brand?
You know, man, I did that. To be honest with you, the mustard brand is in my happiest situation. Like, I wish I could fucking tell you that things, you know, I've made good money with people and I've made people money. And, but you know, to be honest, man, it's been really hard because it's like you do people 9 favors, but the 10th favor you can't do, and then people hate you, you know? And so that's always been my hardest struggle because I don't want to, like, I'm always trying to do better and achieve more. And just, you know what it is, man? I have a drive that, like, I just want to push my life to as far as I can. And for me, you know, we're only here a matter of time. And, you know, I just want to see how far I can take it. And it's hard, but I'm motivated. So I think people take it negatively, and it's a difficult situation because, like I said, man, you do 9 favors for someone, but the 10th one, that when you can't do it, they're upset. And I'm sure you know that, you know?
Yeah. How often do you feel like you're saying no to stuff?
I say no to 99% of stuff.
Yeah. I figured you'd have to.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to really do anything with anyone anymore, you know, as far as business, a lot of these things that like, so Anchored, I've owned this company. It's like a stencil solution. And that was with a guy that was, he created Eternal and Fusion. And so he's been my partner for a long time. And, he's a super good dude. And he's somebody I really trust and like, but other people I've done business with, I mean, there's no transparency, man. Like I like transparency with business. I like people to show me numbers. I like to show them numbers. And I just like transparency, man. Like I don't really, it's not all about money to me. It's, I enjoy the game of it. Like I feel like business is an art form as well. And I enjoy that part. And I just want to see what I am able to do, you know? And so, yeah, it's just an interesting thing. Cause with that, when you start doing other things like that, you meet different personalities and then you meet people that are, or it's just, I someone told me something recently and it made a lot of sense. They were like, some people use like the love and like the beauty and things like that to gain a beautiful place, you know? And some people use the ugly and the negative and use and like actual use things to get to that same beautiful place. But there's two different roads and you got to pick which road you choose to like get there, you know? And I don't want to do that ugly side. Like I'm not trying to be like a shyster. Money is the least important thing to me. To me, it's more the exciting part of growth and building things. And the same as art and tattooing, you know, it's like, sometimes you want to get that piece done, but you know that it's going to be better in 1 or 2 or 3 sittings. And so you do that instead, because that's the best result. You know what I mean? Making sure it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of freedom that comes with being at least at like a financial comfort to the degree where you can pursue things that are like for the purpose of actually wanting to do it. And whether it's tattooing or other shit, just to do it. So you're not just chasing the money more. I think that a lot of tattooers, we all think that we're like real slick business people just based on what we've learned from actually tattooing. And I think that there are a lot of skills that we get from that. But I know that I've met like real business people and it feels a little slimy. Not obviously not everyone, but you can really meet some slimy fucking business people. And it just like, it makes me feel like maybe I don't know enough about business to really be like, you know, get caught up with certain people.
To be honest, man, you know, I read this book. It's called The 48 Laws of Power. And it's written by like Satan, bro. And, you know, if you want to read it, it's awesome. It's an audiobook. But I read it for the opposition because I have had so many people come at me for like opportunities that somebody has suggested. They're all, you should really read this book. And he's like, and so I read it. And there's really, so it gives you the rule. And then it tells you the way the rule was used. Or no, it gives you the rule, the definition of the rule, and then it tells you a time in history the rule was used. And it's a long listen or read, but it's a great book to listen to because it makes you understand the opposition. It makes you understand those slimy people. And then you can almost smell through the bullshit of like, you're only saying that because you're trying to gain the power over me so that way I do this dumb shit. Like a lot of people will dangle the carrot and then you chase that carrot, you know, and then they'll slice off pieces of that carrot. So that way you fucking get little nibbles, but you're never going to get the big piece of the carrot. Like they keep that big piece of the carrot in their pocket and you just get the little pieces. And I've done that way too much, bro. I'm just over it. You know what I mean? So yeah. So it's a good thing. If you ever want to learn a little bit more, it's a good book.
Yeah. I got to check that out for sure.
But it's by Satan, bro. So don't use it because it's definitely negative, but it's good to know.
I feel like a lot of the most successful businesses, not even like inside tattooing, but just in general, are people that are like going against the grain because so many businesses are structured with all these levels. So all these people are like getting rich and then the people that don't do the work are the ones, or the people that are doing all the work are never going to benefit greatly from it. So it seems like to work with some, like most of the stuff that we all do at this point, we can probably do ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you always need a team. Like, I think that...
Well, people that are actually like putting the things in motion for sure. But as far as like you having to feed into the machine to make, get a product made or whatever, it's, it just doesn't seem like it makes sense.
For sure. I mean, products are hard to get made. You know what I mean? In the way you want them. I think there's certain things that people can white label for you, which is fine, but to actually make it by hand, and that's the products I'm going to be doing here sooner, handmade, you know, and I'm making them myself. So it's just another job in itself, but it's a cool thing, man. I've learned a lot, and it's, I'd rather have it that way. That way I can control what's going in and what it is, you know?
You're hand making them. So you'll definitely be down to 2 days tattooing a week in no time.
No. I mean, I have a team, but I think for the first year I'll be hand making most of this.
Damn.
You know, yeah.
I mean, it's cool to be that involved. And I think if you're going to put your name on something, then that's the best way to be confident about the product.
For sure. And that's what I have to do. So I'll tell you more about it. You know, you'll see more about it, you know, if you continue to like see my stuff and stuff, but yeah, so
yeah.
It should be good.
Interesting. A big secret. It's a cliffhanger for everybody listening.
Cliffhanger, probably about May 1st, but you know, I don't want to say too much because I'm building all these like teasers and all these teaser videos. I've learned a lot, man. So I have a marketing company that I just started working with, and they actually hired me to do some stuff with Anheuser-Busch. And so I hired them after, and I was like, dude, what can you do for me? So I'm really trying to learn how to like place the smartest people around me that I can like build, you know, cause I just, like I said, I want to see what's able to do, you know, what's able to become.
Yeah. I love marketing stuff. I think it's so interesting.
Yeah. You're good at it.
Well, thank you.
But you have a good personality. So like, you're able to like poke fun and have no like fucks given. So, you know, what do they say? Fortune favors the bold.
I guess. I mean, it doesn't really feel that bold. Sometimes,
but you're a tattooer, but maybe not bold to you, but some like it's just funny, you know. It's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I was just making these dumb little videos today, speaking of something bold, and it was an idea that the guys at my shop had with me about making. Cause Instagram reels are like the jam right now, as far as like, you know, to get interaction and stuff on your page.
It's crazy, huh?
It's so crazy. Yeah. I made a video about, being dizzy and falling off a chair while trying to tattoo someone after spinning your head around on a bat. And it got like 500,000 views on reels. It's insane.
I've seen that video.
Yeah. It's like, it's crazy how much something that dumb can spread that we filmed in like 5 minutes. So we made a series of new videos about like tips to stretch your tattoo products as the prices are going up and it's hard to find your equipment and everything. So I've got like 5 or 6 30-second clips. And then I sent them to my sister, who's like always who I bounce my stuff off of because she's not a tattooer. So it gets like the real world perspective, but also she's like a marketing person. So she has like brilliance in all these areas that I might not see. And she thought that they were kind of, she said, are you sure you want to have all these jokes about, because like some of the jokes, it's like reusing gloves or reusing paper towels, which I think is so heinous that it's clearly a joke, but maybe someone actually won't think that's a joke and it could actually be detrimental. And now I'm just thinking like, do I want to do it or not? I don't know.
Yeah, just put a caution warning or something stupid, you know what I mean? Like on it, you know, to be honest with you, man, if you're doing that kind of stuff, I don't know if you are on this, but where your stuff would really go viral on is TikTok.
I just got on TikTok.
Yeah, you're going to kill it on there. I mean, to me, honestly, I'm a social media baby and my whole career was built off of MySpace, man. I think like I was in the middle of the desert. And so MySpace was the area where fucking everybody kind of started seeing my work. And for a long time, people didn't even know what I look like until later because I just didn't want them to, I don't know, I just didn't care. And so I would do these like pieces and people were like all about it, but no one really knew who I was for like the first 4 years. That kind of helped me. And then Instagram used to be super awesome, man. Like I remember I used to gain thousands of followers a day, bro. I used to gain like 1,000 to 2,000 followers a day when it first started. And now it's dead, and I really haven't got myself involved on TikTok. I don't know, maybe I'm getting old. Like I feel like I might be becoming a fucking old man, but I will tell you that TikTok, if you're fucking willing to get on there and engage, like, I'm not saying you got to fucking dance, but if you're honest, like you speak your truth and you're doing your thing on there, you're going to fucking blow up, dude. And that's like an untapped resource that I think people need to evolve to because that's still organic. Like it's crazy because I don't use it at all and I still can gain momentum on there. And if I post a video, I see that old like MySpace, Facebook thing where if you put a little effort into it, you'll get a big reward. And it used to be like this, like that on these other platforms, but it's nice to see something like that. And I'm excited to see yours because I know that that's what the young people want. I know that's what people want to see. And so you'll blow up, bro.
I think my resistance to TikTok has always been that I just thought that the people using it are just young people anyway. So to me, the point is to get more people to get tattooed. So I always thought it's just a bunch of kids dancing. So is it really going to benefit me to have an audience on there?
18, bro.
Eventually.
I'll turn 18 eventually. But there are, you know, there's old people on there like myself too, bro. I just seen Joe Cap was on there. I've seen some other tattooers on there and, you know, we haven't, the truth is, man, it's like, there's not any like tattooers that, like, I think a lot of people relate to Instagram, but I'm giving everyone a little notice. You're about to miss that train. Like that train with TikTok's about to end and people should get on it and really, whoever really is doing some cool stuff, it will be seen and you'll gain like that following. So a little, you know, just word from my experience.
I think most tattooers have a hard enough time taking a decent photo of their tattoo to think about like mastering video in a way that's catchy to people's eyes, probably going to deter a lot of people from even trying.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's good. It's good for us, right?
It's good. I mean, I think that it just takes little effort. Like even this dude, right? Like getting on fucking Zoom, like one of my partners, I'm like, hey dude, can we do a Zoom call? And he's like, what's Zoom? I don't even ever even use it. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, so, you know what I mean? It's just funny. Like I have an external camera running and you've had to learn the audio. You've had to learn the camera stuff. You had to learn the editing. Like, you put a little effort into something and you get a reward. And that's the lesson of life, right? Like you have to put a little effort. Like you just can't give up and you got to be willing to fail and get frustrated and then keep going. Like that's the point.
Totally. Yeah. And I feel like the photo taking of tattoos is so important because once it's done, that's all that we have of the tattoo. Obviously it goes and lives in the world and the client has it and it's amazing. But like, as far as what we can actually retain from it, the photo is so important. So when people are like flipping about how they photograph tattoos and they do great work, but nobody would ever fucking know because all their tattoos look like shit on their Instagram page. It drives me nuts to see people that don't take the time, you know?
And I mean, honestly, there's so many ways to take photographs. Like, you know, I used to take photographs before the iPhone, I used to have a film camera. So I used to take photographs of tattoos with a film camera and they were good. You know, I've always been like kind of a crazy person like that. Like I really enjoy learning and dissecting things. So I like started with like a DSLR that I had never used. And it was like, I learned what the, you know, film roll speed was, the shutter speed, the aperture, all that stuff. And that translated later into like, you know, the DSLRs they have now. But when I shoot on manual raw, you know, and I know how to use that camera and I know the lighting and I know, you know, tricks to take. Like now it's easy with polarizers and stuff, but for a long time I'd have to use two lights and it would cancel out. Like, so a little trick is if you have two equal lights on each side of a tattoo, it cancels the glare out in the center and you can get a clearer picture. And so, dude, there's just so many things I've learned over the time just to try to gain a good photo, you know?
Yeah. Well, I feel like you'd have to because your work is so striking, but it would lose so much to have a huge flash burn or like a huge glare down one side of it or whatever, because it would fuck up with all the values and everything.
For sure. And also one of my friends is a real well-known photographer. And I used to take photos with just my iPhone, right? When it first came out, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm just going to use an iPhone. But he was like, dude, you're fucking up. He's like, you have to use a good camera. He's like, if you think you can print out one of those photos as well as you can print out an iPhone photo, you're wrong. He's like, one day someone's going to come to you and say, he's like, what if this happens? Somebody's like, hey, we really want to use that photo or design or something for this campaign. But you're like, all I got is this iPhone picture. Dude, they're going to be like, that's shit. So you have to get good documentation of your work and just document it the best you can, in my opinion. Because if you're going to spend hours, like full body suits, these guys are doing like huge, beautiful pieces or, you know, just a beautiful piece in general, and you're not documenting it, I mean, I think you're kind of doing yourself a disservice, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a good exercise for people to photograph every single tattoo they do. And especially if you're the kind of tattooer that's doing a bunch of tattoos in a day, that's like six opportunities to try to take a photo, even if it's of a little tiny flower tattoo or something. And I think that's super important. And I always try to impress that on people. I know the guys I work with, they've all got the same camera gear that I do, or we all use the same camera gear because it works so well. And we've got our lighting dialed in and stuff. And it's just been so helpful to getting like such better images for everybody's tattoos. And it goes a long way for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. So weird how that's all like, it's just crazy. I remember going and developing my photos, man. Like I remember taking photos and fucking going, like if you went to Walmart, they reuse the chemicals, like the chemicals were shit. So your fucking pictures would come off like discolored, bro. Like you just say you did some cherries. The cherry would come back with like a yellowish haze on like in the red. So it didn't like do it right. So you'd have to go to like a good photo place that was like strictly for photo development and have them print your pictures or develop them so you could get a better portfolio picture or a picture to send to a magazine. Like it was fucking crazy.
Yeah. I remember when some of those like 1 hour photo centers would have like an auto enhance or whatever on it. And they would just totally destroy the photo or like recrop them or do all this shit. And it was always so frustrating.
Horrible.
And it's like, there's no sense to it. You get the picture and it's like a white or black border with like a square of the wrong, like how would they ever detect that that's the fucking way that the photo is supposed to go? It's so annoying.
For sure, man. They don't care. You know, they're just like, whatever.
Whatever. They got your 15 cents for that print. So they got your ass good.
Dude, it's so crazy, dude. Like how information's transferred so fast now.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Like this, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. It's the new magazine.
I think you're right, because I would much rather listen to something like this than to read a magazine.
Well, and I also think like what's interesting to me is that let's just say this, right, in 100 years, you know, if people are around in existence, like wouldn't it be crazy to think like you could listen to somebody's voice and see the way they move, their movements, their faces, everything, but also like, you know, our iPhone, you're going to be able to like probably know exactly what they texted because it exists somewhere.
Right.
That's fucking kind of a crazy thought, dude. Like we would know what Abraham Lincoln texted. That's fucking crazy. Like in private. Such yeah. A weird thought, dude.
Right. Well, I think that we would like not idolize these figures in history as much if we actually knew what they were up to.
100%. Oh, for sure, bro. For sure.
Like Abraham Lincoln wouldn't be on a penny if we knew about his like fart fetish or whatever he was up to on his
own. Yeah, whatever he was doing. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what I was thinking about too, but you said it. It's awesome.
And thinking back to what you're saying about like developing photos and stuff, I feel like it's funny how every generation of tattooing or every tattooer has the thing that's like, well, when I started tattooing, this was like this in a way that it's not now. And it's funny how like for you, it's like, yeah, I was developing photos, doing all this and that. And for me, I'm like, I had a flip phone still when I started tattooing. So it's like, it's funny to talk to all the different tattooers and to hear everyone's like back in my day kind of thing that we all like.
They used to make their own pigments from scratch. And
yeah.
I mean, I used to make my own needles, dude. That was fucking crazy too.
How long in your career did you last doing that?
Fuck, I did that for a long time, dude, probably 8 years. You know, so I did it till probably, I've owned my shop about 11 years. I've been tattooing for about 19 and a half years. So maybe when I got to my shop is when you could get, you know, pre-mades easily. And yeah, that was probably when I still had an autoclave here. So, I mean, because I don't even have an autoclave in my shop anymore. Everything's disposable, you know? Yeah. And, but yeah, man, that was crazy. It's crazy to think about.
So it's safe to say that your secret project, you're not going to be making needles by hand for a year.
Nah, I'm not going to be making needles at all. Dude, that would suck. That would fucking suck.
If it came out that that was your big idea, I'd feel embarrassed for you.
It's not that I got a big idea. It's an idea that has been around. I'm just changing it a little bit to suit my needs and making it what I need. You know, what I think would benefit me and people that do work similar to me, I think it'll benefit everybody, but it's something that I feel like I need because honestly, it's just, I haven't seen, it'll be similar to what's out there. It's just new,
yeah.
You know, and different. It's with my vision, you know?
Yeah. I feel like a big opportunity in development, and it's already happening, I just haven't really tapped into it yet, is like new stencil printers and stuff.
Those are hard, man. I can't do them.
Yeah, I've never tried anything but like the old 3M Thermofax, but it doesn't make a great stencil necessarily. I mean, it does for certain things, but anything that's a little more detailed or whatever, it's like, I don't know. I feel like it could be a lot better.
I have all three of them at my shop. Like I have the 3M, which is like my go-to. I use daily. I have the printer, and then I also have that little brother printer. But I mean, honestly, dude, all I use is a 3M. The other printers, the 3M's a bitch. The brother one is just a bitch. It's hard to use. Sometimes it gets all, you know, like stuck. And then the other printer is just a little frustrating because it's a little lighter, and I'm just a creature of habit, dude. The paper's thicker. It's just different. I don't know. I've really tried to use it, but I can't.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense that the way that you prepare your line drawings is conducive to how a 3M is going to print it, because that's what you've always done.
Yeah.
But I wonder if younger tattooers are able to draw, like to start with a different image that's help them in different ways. I would imagine, because you can be so much more detailed on those like crisp ass printers and for get sure. It's awesome. I want that shit.
Nah, I know, dude. I watch dudes do it. That's why I try. I'm like watching these young kids do it. And like, I'm over here hand making. I'm like, dude, I'm a dinosaur. Like my stencils are old now. Like that's considered old, you know? And I'm like, fuck, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
They're using some crazy technology.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's definitely cool. Yeah. I feel like when I started tattooing, everyone was talking about like the kind of work that you do and just color portrait and color, like no outline kind of stuff was like the new thing. And everyone had their opinion and they still do, but it was like so controversial in that. And it is funny to think that at this point, it's like so seasoned now that you're like feeling that your methods are the old way and you're seeing all this new shit kind of come along. It's pretty
for
funny.
For sure, man. For sure. For sure. A lot of it's changed too, because when I started doing that stuff, I really didn't know too many people that were doing it. I mean, I seen Dino Cooks and Boris Work and people like that were doing some realistic. Robert Hernandez had done some, but they were like still black and gray with color. So it's been a big learning curve of like years and years of like what works, what didn't work, what I need in it, what I, you know, definitely what's important, and watching things age. I mean, I got tattoos now that were color realistic that are, you know, 15 years old, you know? And so I've been able to watch all this stuff and dissect it and write it down and know what I use then, what machines, what pigments. And so I try to keep a log of like documentation of kind of what I was doing, you know, what pigments were different and what's better.
Yeah. It's like every tattoo is a time capsule and you got to unlock it after a certain amount of time to learn from it.
For sure, man. That's weird, huh?
Yeah. Do you feel like it was more exciting then when there weren't a lot of people doing it and you're really trying to dive into it? Or is it more exciting to you now to see so many more people like pushing the envelope with like boundless styles and ideas?
Well, I think we're rebellious in nature, right? Like I think we get into tattooing because we have this rebellious nature. And to be honest, man, I really like love tattooing, but that was kind of just the direction it went for me. And then I started hearing like all these heroes of mine were like, that shit sucks. It'll fucking never last. And all this shit. And I was like, what the fuck? Like these dudes I look up to, you know, and it was kind of tripping me out. So then I was like, yo, fuck it. I'm going to teach everybody how to do it. Like, I'm just going to show everybody how to do it. And so I showed everyone how to do it. And to be honest, like I'm happy with it because I see some really amazing tattooers that are even pushing it further. And now I've seen in every country that I've went to, there's kids that fucking crush it with that. And a lot of them will come up to me and they'll talk to me about, you know, the DVD I did or whatever I did in the past, or they have taken a workshop or seminar from me. And I feel really proud, man, that they're doing it and that, you know, that'll kind of go on to the next generation and next generation. And, you know, because I felt like for a period of time, and even sometimes still today, it's hard because sometimes I don't feel like I'm like a tattooer, like, you know, I'm not accepted in that group of just that idea. And that's okay with me. Like I just create art and I just want to do my best. And, you know, I want to give back and do my best for the community that I'm a part of. And so that's another reason why I don't drink and do these things, because I really have tried to you know, Guy Atchison had told me something a long time ago when I was like 25 years old. He was like, everybody's watching you, you know, so you should probably watch what you do. And I was like, nah, fuck that. I'm gonna fucking do whatever and live however. But then I watched some tattooers kind of emulate, you know, the way I was being. And I didn't really see them doing that well and making kind of bad choices. And so then that's when I kind of put myself in my seat and I was like, you know, I got to kind of be a better representative and be more mindful of my actions and who I am and the way I conduct myself. And that's really when I chose, like, dude, I really don't want to drink and I really don't want to do anything like that because I want to be a better, I don't know, I guess, representative for the community. You know, like you said, you know, like a lot of people look my way and I just have to have, I have to be put together, you know, and be better, you know, as a person, you know.
You have kids too, right?
Yeah, I have three kids.
Yeah. So that's probably got to have something to do with that too.
Of course, man. I mean, it's everything, you know, it's everything, dude. The whole life, you know, what does it say? Warren Buffett says it's 20 years to create, what is it? Your persona or like, not persona, but like, what is it when you tell somebody you're like, that's a good dude. You know what I mean? And it's 5 minutes to destroy that. You know what I mean? So like, you know, you just gotta be mindful.
Yeah. There's always been like a line in the sand as far as people's willingness to like share information, in tattooing. And it's interesting that you pointed out that you feel that you're not even like necessarily part of the larger thing or of like the other thing or whatever. And that's kind of crazy, because like from someone on the outside looking in, like you're the guy or you're like one of the guys and it's, you truly still feel now that you're maybe not.
I think sometimes it probably has to do with trauma, to be honest. You know, I think that, like you said, you know, we all deal with our insecurities. And so I don't think it's even just tattooing. Like, I think in life, I've always felt like an outsider. And it probably isn't even anything anyone's ever done to me. It's probably me. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of the place I've always put myself in as an outsider, which is a really strange thing to think about and acknowledge, but it's honest and true, you know? And so I guess to everybody that feels that way, I mean, I understand, you know, because even with friends in high school and stuff, like I got a really good group of friends. And even with them, like I felt like slightly like an outsider, but I had read some stuff because I'm always trying to do some self like healing and self thought. And I had read some stuff that when you feel that way, it has to do with probably trauma when you were younger or some kind of mental thing, you know? So that's probably the real reason, to be honest.
Yeah. But without that, then maybe you wouldn't be in the position you're in now, because that's the kind of thing that I feel like can drive someone to like overachieve or to like push beyond your comfort zone or whatever.
For sure. I think that's what it is too, is like, I think I have things to prove to myself that I'm, you know, it's not really ego. It's more just, you know how it is, man. Like people tell you, you can't, you can't, you can't. And then you're like, dude, fuck you. Eventually you're like, I can, and I'm going to, and fuck that, you know? And so I remember, dude, I didn't graduate high school. And I remember all my friends' parents were like, why are you hanging out with that loser? You know, it's kind of like a fuck up. And, I just think that those kinds of things just stayed in my head, and that's the drive, you know. Even when I started tattooing, a girl that was helping me learn how to tattoo had told me one time, why are you looking at the magazines? Why are you looking up to people like Bob Terrell? You're never going to be like that. You're never going to achieve that. And I remember in my mind being like, dude, fuck you. Dude, fuck you. I'm going to fucking work so hard, and I'm going to fucking do whatever I need to do to be my best. And I did, man. And I just feel like I'm super grateful for those people, because that's like the worst thing to do to me is to like put me in a corner. Like, don't put baby in the corner. You know, or you get Swayze. No, just kidding. Just fucking, you know, like that's just the thing, dude. So that's my motivation, man. You become, somebody tells me, you know, you're not this, you're not that. And it's like, dude, fuck that. You know?
Yeah. I feel like after the last year of being a little more isolated, like we all have, that I've felt more affected by my own projected assumptions of what someone's reaction to something I do is going to be, to the point where it's almost, I'm like talking myself out of doing things, Whereas like the last few years before that, I've been really good about just like pushing through and like not really caring about the result is if it's something I enjoy or I want to do that to just do it. And if people don't like it, then it's not really a big deal and nobody actually really cares. Like if, you know, and it,
you think people are going to care, but they don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the worst thing is someone's not going to love it. And that's not really a big deal because they're just going to scroll past something or like whatever.
And most people are going to support you regardless, dude. The people that matter, you know, are going to support you. The people that enjoy you are going to support you. And, you know, if you play the truth, man, is if you play it safe and try to fucking make everybody happy, you're never going to do anything worthwhile.
Right.
You know, you got to piss people off.
Right. But even knowing that, I'm still having those thoughts of like being a little apprehensive about certain things. And it sucks. It's something that I've been trying to think about.
Probably like PTSD from this last year too, because I catch myself feeling different. You know, this last year was hard, man. I mean, it was hard on everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's been a frustrating emotional roller coaster for all of us, you know? And I think that, I went through a big depression, bro. The honest truth, you know, it took me probably my whole tattoo career to get in this certain mindset, right? Before coronavirus, like I was fucking feeling the best. I was working out a bunch. I was getting healthier. I wasn't drinking and I just felt amazing, dude. And then coronavirus came and fucking knocked me down, bro. And it honestly knocked me down to a place where I felt super depressed. And I struggled, you know, here and there with it, like everybody. And I'm starting to find myself again and become like excited and kind of what you're talking about. Like I'm getting away from that like mentality of like worrying so much. I think what I've learned the most out of coronavirus and all that stuff is that I just want to keep my life smaller. And I like being home. I used to travel a lot. It's made me focus on things that I really have gotten so far away from and I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, man, I would just, you're probably need to listen to something inside of yourself that maybe you don't want to do, but you'll get out of it, man. You just got to get back to the place you were at probably prior, you know?
Yeah. All right. I'm cured. Thanks.
Nah.
I know it's not a unique feeling for sure. And I know a lot of people that are listening to this might be able to relate to it, but I think maybe just like talking about it is what I'm hoping will help to kind of work me out of the thing. So I've been kind of bringing it up to friends and people closer in my life and stuff. And now to you, a complete stranger over the Zoom call. So thanks.
No, it's awesome, man. I mean, I'm being honest with you. I feel the exact same way and it's been a rough year.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see that a lot of people have been able to kind of start digging out a little bit, whether it's mentally, financially, or whatever. But I think, like you said, we all have found positives in it too, you know, as far as like new perspectives and stuff. And I feel like travel is one of those things where no matter how cool it is to go places and to, you can go tattoo all over the world and see all these things and vacations or whatever. But like a lot of the actual travel part sucks so hard most of the time that it's easy to realize that like, maybe staying home's kind of cooler.
For sure. I mean, I like staying home, man. I feel like I get more done. I've never had a routine really in the last like 10 years because every 2 weeks I'd be at a different time zone every month. And so it really like, it fucked me up. Like I didn't know I was going through that until I got home and I was like, oh shit, this is what it's like to get up really early and go to sleep at the same time and do it on months on end. This is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Just not having like the next thing to look forward to. Like, I know you have a lot of stuff day to day, but like the next trip, like, okay, well I'm back now. I've got 6 days and then I got to be packed and do all this. Like that's a tough way to live. Cause you're kind of like just floating between those trips in a lot of ways.
It's not real.
Do you think that it's like the need to travel so much? Is that like, because I think a lot of tattooers do it and I know it is enjoyable and there are cool perks to it, but I feel like it's a way that we can like feel validated or something. If we can like show up at a place and there are these people that want to get tattooed by us. Do you think that that's part of it?
To me, it was more obligation, bro. Like it was more like, you know, if a friend had a show and I had seen him at this, just down in New York, right? And a friend of mine saw me show in fucking Virginia. And they're like, yo, Nico, you want to do my show? And I'm like, yeah, let me know. And then all of a sudden I'm on the fucking flyer. And then it's like, or the banner. And I'm like, fuck, dude. And then they're like, you told me. And I'm like, I never said I'd go. And then they're just like, dude, but you're a friend of mine. And they pull that card. And I just felt a tremendous amount of stress. And like, I wanted to make everybody like happy, like, okay, cool. And so I would do all these things knowing that I was not happy, bro. And so coronavirus almost was like, and now I'm like, I don't have no obligations. I haven't told anybody anything. I ain't fucking going anywhere. Like, I'm fucking stoked. You know what I mean? So it was more like that, like promises. Like, I've had people tell me, oh, you know, you promised you'd come here. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like, and I didn't, but I'll go, you know? So it was just like, it's just a lot of like making people happy, and it's a lot of stress.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like awkward interpersonal shit. That's always the worst.
Yeah. So this has kind of helped me to stay home, and now I don't have to go anywhere unless I want to, you know? And I had started traveling with my family more. So like we would go to Hawaii once a year, and then we would go to like Japan or like somewhere, you know, Europe or something. And that's what I was really focusing on more. So, cause my kids are getting old enough now to where they can enjoy it, remember it. And it's a better experience, you know. And it's a whole different experience for me too, because we're sightseeing, you know, we're having dinners, and I already did that other thing, you know, where it's like with tattooers, partying or whatever it was back when I was younger. And so now doing it this way is interesting. I'm not really interested in conventions anymore, man. I'm burned out on it, and I would like to just travel now.
Well, it's got to be like an extra weird pressure when you're at a convention, like you specifically, because it's more than just like showing up and doing your appointments. Because you're like, you got to be like the guy. And there's all these people that want to come and meet you and see you and watch you work and ask you questions and do this stuff. And it's got to be like a weird thing sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm like real sensitive to like energy, dude. And so like I've like felt, I can feel people, and it's draining to where I can tell if somebody is just speaking to me, but they don't like me, you know? And it's like,
can you feel that right now?
I mean, a little bit, but it's like, you know, you know, and it's like, it's just, it's weird, dude. It's a weird thing to me because it's, I don't really understand it. I mean, then I get really great people and I'm really grateful for it, but it's just, you get the whole gamut of like, you know, people that really love you, and then people that fucking hate you but say hello, and it's like uncomfortable. I don't want to deal with that shit, dude. I'm over it.
Have you ever had someone come up to you at a convention who is like trying to carry the torch for traditional tattooing, and it's their job? They're going to tell you that what you do is wrong and you're not doing your customers a service. And has that ever happened?
I mean, I've had people write me and be like, you're a fucking gypsy tattooer and you're coming to our fucking town and fucking taking our clients and fucking, you know, and I'm like, you're fucking right. I just own it, dude. Like, when people talk shit to me, I'm like, yes. And then they're just like, what? And I'm like, I'm agreeing with you. What are you gonna say, bro? Fucking, you're a piece of shit. You're totally right.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Thanks. See you at the convention, bro.
It's like, dude, just fucking own it. It's like, dude, I don't give a fuck what you say. Like, I don't give a fuck what you think. Like, say it and think whatever you want. Like, if anything, I'm more motivated now. And to be honest, I'd rather people be that way, because then it's like, I know not to fuck with you. Like, you don't fucking like me, or you have a fucking weird issue with me. Sick. You know what I mean? I've had it all, bro. I've had all kinds of situations. Like, dude, I've had fucking stalkers. I've had the fucking weirdest shit. Weirdest shit, dude.
So a thing I've been wanting to focus on the show a little bit is kind of how tattooing and like pop culture intertwine. And I thought you might have some interesting insight on it, because I'm sure you have like some celebrity clientele. I mean, if you're in like Hollywood, then I'm sure you've crossed paths with a lot of people who are in the public eye and such. And I think back to like in the 70s, like the Janis Joplin tattoo, how that was like such a significant like moment for tattooing, her Lyle Tuttle tattoos, and how that was like really a thing you can look back on. And do you think that that's even possible now, for there to be such a significant like pop culture tattoo moment, or is it just so common that it's never really going to be like that again?
I think it'll always have a certain degree of it. I think that, tattooing just isn't the same as it was back then. I mean, it was a lot more taboo, and, you know, I just think that it's just a different time. I don't really know, man. I don't really know. I mean, tattooing is pretty integrated to celebrities and pop culture. So, I mean, I wouldn't know even how to answer that. I think that as long as fucking celebrities and people at the with that many eyes on them get tattooed, I'm fucking stoked, because that just means all the kids that turn 18 want to get tattooed, dude. You know what I mean? So, like, that makes me happy, because that's, like, makes tattooing still popular and exciting. It's the day when they don't want to get tattooed that I'm scared of, because then the kids won't want to get tattooed, and then we're like, fuck, we fucking don't have no work. You know what I mean? So that's the scary time. So as long as it's still rebellious and people still don't understand it, we're cool. But in generations to come, who knows what it'll be like? Because there might be somebody that is like, yo, fuck that, I ain't doing that. Post Malone has his whole face tattooed, I ain't fucking getting shit. Right. You know, fuck you. You know, like, that's what trips me out. That's the dude that I'm going to be like, fuck, man, that sucks. I don't like that kid.
Yeah, that kid sucks, but he's also probably the coolest one in the room, because he's the most unique. For sure. No tattoos.
For sure, dude. For sure, because everyone has them. But, I mean, it's still like, I mean, I don't know. It's strange tattooing celebrities. It's one of those things where, okay, so I'm going to explain a little thing with my vision of what tattooing is. So, like, when you start tattooing, you know, you get your clients, and it's all educational, right? Like, you get walk-ins, and you have to tell them what a good tattoo is, how much a good tattoo costs, and you're basically educating people off the street to get what you think is the best for them, right? So that's like a walk-in shop. So then you do that for years, and then you build a style. And then somebody comes to you and gets tattooed by you because of your style. They like what you do, they want what you do, and they pay you for that. So then you start getting tattoo collectors or tattoo like enthusiasts that are like really hardcore tattoo. To me, this is the nine of tattooing. This is the upper echelon, the highest you can get. Okay. To me, this is the golden line of tattooing, because those clients are going to get what you want to get. They're going to give you freedom. They're going to pay you your worth, and they're going to fucking sit like a rock, dude. Though that's, to me, the highest tier. If you have that, you're busy, people are paying you what you're worth, you're fucking stoked on your tattoos daily, like what you're doing, you're fucking winning. The next level is that full circle. It's number 10. So it's a new start. And that's celebrity. That's people with a lot of wealth. And that becomes where you get people with tons of dough. They're going to pay you fucking what you want and more. But they're not tattoo enthusiasts and they're not tattoo collectors. They have no idea. So you're re-educating them like a walk-in person, and you're fighting them every step of the way. But the difference between the person that walks in is they got enough money to give you whatever the fuck you want. So now you're basically their bitch, and you got a choice to make. You can either fucking be their bitch and fucking do what they want exactly, and it's going to fucking suck, or you don't do it and you just step back down to nine. And so that's where I'm at. Like, there's this fucking line where I've dealt with so many celebrities that it's a fucking hard situation. Like, tattooing celebrities is hard, dude. It's they're the alpha. They're the fucking one that run the show. They're the ones that got everybody saying yes. They fucking know what's going on. They know what they want. And, you know, it's a very hard situation, man. Like, to be honest with you, even the last five celebrities I've been with tattooing, I haven't even posted a picture of it, and I haven't even taken a picture with them. And it's a really difficult situation, and it's not anything negative. I'm super grateful for them, and I'm super grateful for them to even look my way. It's just like really draining, and it's a difficult situation, man, because I'll tattoo, like, this whole week I've tattooed people that are just like getting cool tattoos. Like, I don't even do outline, bro. And I was like, I did this like bird on this chick's neck, and like I did like a pelican outline, real light, but a real thin, like a three, something I don't normally do. I did some lettering, and I was fucking stoked. Like, and I would normally be like, I'm not really excited about this, you know, but I was so stoked. And I had to tell her, dude, thank you so much for getting tattooed. Like, you've been tattooed by me so much, and I know this isn't something I normally do, but I'm really excited that I did it on you, because you just always are so cool. You pay, you sit well, because I've went through situations recently where I've tattooed people and they're fucking dying. Dude, I tattooed this dude, and I ain't gonna name. I did fucking probably in 7 hours of being with them, I did 30 minutes of tattooing. Bro, it was hard. And we're going to finish it and everything will be good, but it was a hard day. And I would never want to put any clients on blast. I would never want to like do anything negative because, I mean, at the same time, you know, I respect them. And I just wouldn't want to do that. But it's a hard situation to tattoo celebrities, and it's draining. And they're basically, in my opinion, I think the celebrity idea and what we live in is the modern day royalty. You know, that's where we hold them. And so that's the idea, right? That's what everybody wants. And so you have all these tattooers that want to fucking get the Rolly and fucking have the fucking Lambo and tattoo celebrities. And it's like, dude, if you think that's the highest level, there has to be a level above that, right? There has to be a level of like respect and like Andy Warhol shit, like where it's fucking so high up there, they're paying you fucking crazy amount of money and you're fucking doing whatever you want because you're this fucking person and that's the art piece they're getting from you. And it's like paintings on a wall, right? Like there's that level that's, I don't think it's been achieved, but will in time. But for now, in my opinion, if you have clients that are fucking stoked on you, paying what you want, and you're doing what you want, dude, you got to fucking be grateful and say thank you because you're fucking winning, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. That's kind of what I pictured would be the dynamic. Yeah. And what you said about celebrities not being like tattoo enthusiasts, it makes a lot of sense. And you can tell by the number of celebrities that have really fucked up and shitty tattoos. And everyone always says, well, they've got so much money. Why can't they get good tattoos? But just because they're famous or they have money doesn't mean that they have good taste in tattoos. It's like such a specific thing.
And I'm not, and I got to say, I got to do this disclaimer because it's not true for 100% of them.
Sure. You know,
like there is people like The Rock that are fucking badass. Like that dude's a good person like you, like talking to you and be like that. There's people like Diddy that are cool, you know, Drake cool, like, but then there's these other people that are just kind of like lost in the sauce, you know what I mean? And, you know, so the people really high up on their levels, like on the fucking top tier of that stuff, they got their shit together. Like they fucking, they're on it, dude, they're badass. But then there's like this middle ground and some of them are fucking out of control, bro. And the only way I can see it is like, this is what I have to tell myself, like some of these people that I'm talking about, today is like their Motley Crue day. So like, I just have to remind myself is like, they're going to be remembered probably like Motley Crue. So if you tattooed Motley Crue at that time, what would it be like? Okay, cool. I understand. This is better than that because that was probably even fucking crazier. You know what I'm saying? So it's it's that dynamic that I have to remind myself of like the situation and the realities.
Right. Right. Have you ever had a client, not necessarily a celebrity, but anyone who like flew from a crazy distance and they just couldn't sit?
Oh yeah, for sure. This guy came in from Belgium one time. I tattooed him all day. 2 days after, I think I was supposed to tattoo the wife first, but he's a tattooer too. They went to Disneyland like 2 days. They came. I fucking did one line on her back, like, cause I was going to do like a light outline with like this realistic like flower. I did one line and she was like, oh, I can't do it. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he finished it, dude. But I tattooed him for 2 days and he did it the next 2 days. But she was just tired, dude. They flew in, got off the plane, went to Disneyland 2 days, fucking came and got tattooed. And she was like, dude, I'm exhausted. I feel like shit, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I used to have this fantasy I was going to get like a Philip Luback piece or something. And the reality of it is I would have never survived. I'm glad that I didn't even try to do it.
Well, the worst thing is, dude, is like once you've committed, you know?
Right, you're in. Yeah, you got to do it. But that's like a huge door to open, a big heavy door that needs to be opened.
But at least you would get it done efficient.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. And it would be totally worth it, obviously. But yeah. I don't know. But maybe at that time I could have done it. I don't think I could do it today though. It doesn't get any easier as you get older.
I've been wanting to get tattooed lately. Like I haven't been tattooed in some years. I think the last tattoo I got some lettering from Jack Rudy or my brother maybe tattooed me. But I've been wanting to get tattooed. I've been feeling it, man. Like I feel like it's therapeutic. I don't have a ton of tattoos, but I've been feeling it. So I'll probably be getting tattooed here soon.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of fun to like get back on it, but it's the longer you take off, I feel like it can be harder to kind of get back into it or to want to sit there for it.
For sure. I feel like it's therapeutic, like you need it. sometimes, you know, and it'd probably be a good reminder for me because I've had these clients not want to sit recently. And I'm like, maybe I need to be tattooed to fucking remind me how bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to get tattooed by you the day after you got some big tattoo. You'd be so tender and caring the whole time.
Fucking.
Yeah. Are you okay? Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah. Cause right now I think I'm fucking like chainsawing their arm off. Like, yeah, for sure. And I'm just so mean, dude. I'm just like, fucking sit there. What do you mean you can't sit 10 hours?
I think if I was sitting there and watching you pour out like 40 caps of ink, I'd probably shit my pants.
Dude, I'm shitting my pants having to do that all the time. I'm like, you know, dude, I'm pouring ink out and I'm like, why the fuck did I do this to myself? You know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm just gonna fucking do black and gray from now on. That's the worst part of my day, bro, is fucking pouring ink. I fucking hate it, dude.
Yeah, I feel like most tattooers will get to a point where they just retire and they don't tattoo anymore. But like your retirement job will be being a black and gray tattooer because it'll just feel so easy.
Oh, man, I'll feel like relieved, man. Pouring 50 colors out sucks. I don't know why I did that, dude. I really do think about that sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, fucking, there has to be a better system. So if there's someone out there that's a genius, figure it out. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution to that would be, but there's got to be one out there.
There has to be one.
Some sort of like apparatus you put the bottles into and then you just hit a button and it goes
just right on top of them. That'd be fucking awesome, dude. I'd be fucking stoked.
That would work, but how many people would actually require something like that in the world? It wouldn't even make sense.
I wouldn't make sense. I have to make it for myself, dude. You actually gave me some ideas, bro.
There you go. Yeah, you can have that one.
My dad owns a machine shop, dude. I'm just gonna make one just for me, dude. Just
there you go. And if you put a video of you using it on TikTok, that shit'll blow up.
People will be like, what the fuck is that?
And if you're holding it just a little bit off center, then it's just going to shit like 50 big ink caps full of ink all over your table or your floor or something. Then that would
just fucking make a mess, dude. Everyone knows the pigment mess sucks, dude. Fuck. Yeah, but TikTok's crazy, man. That shit's wild. Have you been on it much?
I just got on it, and this is actually a good segue to my final topic I want to ask you, because everything's coming full circle in my life. Because this morning I was reading your bio on your website, which was actually really great before an interview, because most people, I don't know much about them, and there's not really like good info about it. But you had like a nice bio on your website, so I got like a little bit of background on you. And so the reason I am on TikTok is because I have been very hot on the idea of getting Fred Durst to be a guest on the show, because I want to talk to him about when he was a tattooer in the 90s.
I used to tattoo Fred.
Right. And this is why it's full circle, because in your bio, you said that you've tattooed Fred Durst amongst like a couple other celebrity people.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could try to get you in contact. I'm sure you would do it.
See, okay. I had the idea. I've had the idea actually for like, I don't know, almost a year I've been like thinking about it, but then the last month or two I've been really trying to pursue it. And I sent him a DM. Obviously that's not going to fucking work. But then I've been posting about him. So, and in the last few episodes, I've had a little blurb like, hey, if you know Fred Durst, hook me up, help me out. Let's get him on the show. And I've like talked to people that knew about his tattooing time back in the 90s, blah, blah, blah. I'm investigating. I'm like Inspector Gadget over here with all this Fred Durst shit. And so like through friends of friends, I've reached out, I made like a pitch video saying, hey, Fred, I'm Andrew. I make the show. I'd love to talk to you about this. Let me know. And I thought that'd be like a nice personal way. And then through someone who's close to him, passed it along to him, and I never heard anything back. Okay. So now what? And I know other people have like reached out and then he's seen it, like he's aware of it, but hasn't reached back out, which makes me think maybe he doesn't want to do it. But I feel like he seems like he might want to, I don't know. He seems like he's open. Yeah. He's on TikTok, and that's why I'm on it. And he's making all these like, he's making these skits and all this funny shit. And
he just did my friend's podcast, man. So like I'm friends with Wes Borland, and I'm friends with this guy, Bobby, that owns Blackcraft. And so he's going to be on the podcast, or he just did it. So I had seen them promoting it. So maybe that's why, I don't know, but I can ask them. I'll ask my buddy right now, Bobby. I'm sure he'll let me know.
That would be fantastic. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
because I need Fred Durst on the show. God damn it. I'm about to buy a red Yankees cap on Amazon and make some TikTok skits and tag him.
The fucking nookie, man. It's all for the nookie, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you a big Fred Durst fan?
Well, I loved Limp Bizkit when I was a kid. When I was 11, I saw Limp Bizkit on MTV and I was like, cool, they scream. I'm signed up.
That's awesome. That's cool. He's a cool dude, man. He's a cool dude. And then I was friends with Wes. I used to paint with him. We'd go to Michael Huster's house and we would paint once a week and he would be there. And I did a couple of tattoos on Fred. One healed, and then, you know, I never touched it up. And then the other one healed good. On Wes, we did a portrait of his wife. And then they got divorced, so I covered it with Darth Vader. And I have an original Wes Borland painting here that he gave me. And it's pretty big, bro. Like, it's like fucking like this, like 36 inches. You know what I mean? And so it's fucking big. But he's a good dude. They're good people, man. They're really good people.
Yeah, I've been watching for my research a lot of like more current Fred interviews. And he seems cool. And I honestly wasn't sure what to expect because his whole persona back in the day, as far as like the big like celebrity persona of Fred Durst, is that he's like kind of, he's arguing with everyone and he's like talking shit about everyone and it's always a battle and stuff. But it's like, obviously that's not who he is at this point.
Nah, he's a good dude, man. I talked to him a few times and there was some stuff we were going to do together at a point, but he's a really good dude, man. He's down to earth and I think he's producing a lot, like directing and producing a lot now. And, he's still doing his thing.
I want to get tattooed by him. That's my ultimate goal.
You should. That'd be awesome. That's fucking badass, dude.
Yeah.
You'll be stoked.
I would love this to just be like this journey to Fred Durst and all these little blurbs that I have recorded. I could put them all into one episode and then it ends with me getting tattooed by him.
That'd be cool. I like that.
That'd be so fun.
That's badass. Nah, that's good, man. I'll do my best. I mean, I can't promise anything, but I'll ask for sure.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd appreciate
that. Don't hurt that. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. This has been really fun. It's been nice digitally meeting you. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you too. We didn't even know each other.
I know. No, this is great. I hope that the world gets to normal sometime and we can meet in person.
For sure, man. And thank you so much. I know you do great interviews with a bunch of great tattooers and I appreciate you even just letting me be on here and speak. And, you know, thanks, man. And continued success to you. And I'm excited to see what you do later, man. I think you'll have some fun.
Thanks, man. You as well. I can't wait to see what your secret project is.
It ain't nothing big. I'm going to be embarrassed just like you said now, jerk.
No, as long as it's not some bullshit.
Nah, it'll be cool, man. It's nothing crazy, but it's not reinventing the wheel. It's just smoothing the wheel out. So, you know.
Awesome. We'll all be watching with baby.
All right, care. Thank you, dude. Later, man.
All right, thanks, dude. Take care. One last huge thank you to Nico Hurtado for being on the show this week. I'll have all of his links in the show notes. I'm sure you can find him pretty easily on Instagram at Nico Hurtado. As always, I'm Andrew Storz. You can find me on Instagram at Andrew Storz. And I do want to say one more time, thank you very, very much to DOS M for sponsoring this episode. All of their info will also be included in the show notes and on booksclosepodcast.com. So please check them out. It can be a massive help to all of you tattooers and shop owners. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and a nice review on iTunes. Or make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen, whether it's on Apple or Spotify, or if you like to watch the show on YouTube, please smash that like button. Leave some comments. Just do all that stuff. It actually really helps, and it's kind of silly, but it does help. So thank you for doing that if you are inclined. And I guess that really wraps it up for us here. This was a fun episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. I will be back next time with a new guest, new conversation, and hopefully some new topics because, gee whiz, I'm running out. All right. Thank you. I'll see you next time.